I want you to be aware that even though there is not a physical bulletin here in the building for you, there is a digital bulletin which you can use at your convenience. It'll download right to your phone. You go to faithlife.com/scc-cov, and that will get you to our Faith Life group. Tom puts our announcements up in there on a regular basis, does a great job. This is going to become the hub for lots of announcements in a digital world. And I've had a couple questions regarding our website. It looks like it disappeared. And in reality, it did disappear. Actually, what happened is it's under construction. And so if you're looking for our website, you're going to find it at scc-cov, faithlifesites.com. And that's where it is while it's under construction. It will go back to the regular website in the very near future. But if you're looking for audio recordings of our sermons, you'll find them there. They can be downloaded to your phone. The announcements are there. It is a fully functioning site. So jot that down, and you can visit it at your discretion whenever you feel like it. But I'm ready to preach. Are you ready to study? To open the Word of God and allow His hand to guide us? I hope so. So let's take a moment and just ask for God's blessing before we do so. My God, I know that often I feel unworthy to the task in front of me, and today is one of those days. I would ask that you would enable your church to hear what I'm saying, to listen, to have ears that hear, that are going to go home and think about what the scriptures have said, what their pastor commented about them, and to spend the time studying to show themselves approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed because we rightly divide the words of scripture. Guide us, Lord. Protect us. Draw us back together. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We've been studying in the Gospel of Luke, walking verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. And on Friday, I realized that there was absolutely no way God was going to let me talk about the Gospel of Luke today. And so I took the sermon that I wrote and filed it away for, I have no idea, some other time. Maybe next week, maybe the week that follows. We're going to be in the book of 2 Thessalonians this morning. If you've been with me this past week, watched the television that I've watched, read the blogs that I've read, lived in the country that I've lived in, you should have realized fairly quickly that there is a tremendous need for prayer in our nation and in our churches. I posted online just that I was feeling the heaviness of what I was seeing. And I got lots of replies and private messages. Some of them told me to suck it up, buttercup, and move on. Some of them told me to prepare for war. Some of them told me they were praying. Some of the opinions were everywhere, Dale. They just were. And I began to prepare my heart and to seek God's guidance in my own life. And so what I would like to do today is to speak into the turmoil that we face living in a fallen world this morning. What does God expect from His church in time of trouble? What does God expect from His church when the world in which we live does not value the things that it values? How is the church to respond when patriotism has replaced the cross? How is the church to respond when a love of neighbor means only a love of certain neighbors? How are we to respond to the fact that all the messages I've got are garbled and confused in my head? And I fully expect an email or an angry phone call at the end of the sermon. What you're going to get from me today is my attempt to find direction in God's Word. I am no prophet. I am no president. I am neither apostle nor special Christian in any way. But what I am is eager to hear the voice of God today. Realizing that the early Christians did not live in a world which they agreed with. They did not live in a world where their candidate won an election. They did not live in a world where their values were permissible. They lived in a world in which they were strangers in a strange land. And so there was a group of these men and women living in a city called Thessalonica. And they were so afraid of the changes happening in their world that they thought maybe they were in the end days, that Jesus had come and they had missed it. They were anxious. What's happening around us? And Paul writes them a letter. And in the letter, he discusses, oh, it's Bible study heaven is what it is. And my hope here is not that you come away from this agreeing with me. You understand that. My hope here is that I would be able to show you the scriptures, speak words of encouragement, give insight where I can, but most importantly, my job is to lead the flock into the field where it can be sheep in safety, grazing on the words of God. Take this not as an endpoint, but as a beginning. My God, now that I've upset everybody, allow us to see your word clearly. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This sermon has no points. All of my professors just rolled over in their graves or rolled their eyes, one or the other. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a text of Scripture, and then I'm going to talk for a little bit about what I see. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. My eyes were drawn to this because my wife posted it. And I've been thinking about it since she posted it. It says this, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." When I read that, I thought to myself, where do I start? And I think I start by acknowledging the goodness of God. When I watched the protesters storm the steps, my heart was not filled with the goodness of God. I thought, oh no. When I listened to the posts and the radio broadcasts and every other political announcer that's out there, my heart does not sing, "How great is our God?" It sings, "What in the world is happening out here?" Maybe yours is the same. It is difficult to pull your eyes away from the storm and fix them on the God that created all things. But I believe that if the Christian is to honor God in a time of trouble, let him or her begin with his eyes fixed firmly on the cross of Christ. Let this be the starting point from which our discussion is built. Our love of God. Acknowledging the goodness of God does not mean that we simply experience the goodness of God. It means that we call out thanksgiving about the goodness that God has done. We are not silent, but our mouths are filled with the goodness of God. We speak in our church, in our community, in our homes. And let me ask you, if I was to take count of the sentences you spoke this week, would your grumbling outweigh your gratefulness? Because mine surely did. It just did. It has been since, I don't know, a long time ago. There's so much to be mad about in this world. But if my eyes see the God of all creation clearly, there is so much to be thank-filled for. I believe that when I am surrounded by the darkness, I must fix my eyes upon the cross of Christ. And if the church is to be what God intends it to be, this is the first step. Let your eyes and mind and heart be filled with the thankfulness that God called you out of the darkness and into the light. How can we choose a response against the evils of this world if we are not walking in the light? I believe that if I am to begin to really think about this, then I should begin in the love of God and rejoicing in the family of God. I love the Lord my God, and I love the body of God, His family. Did you see what he said here? But we always give thanks to God. Amen. I like that. And then he went and said, for you. And I think, hold the horses. I am plenty excited about God. I am not always plenty excited about Christians. Those of you who know my story know that there was a great battle fought in my mind and heart about church in general. Can I just worship God and leave out Christians altogether? Because let's be honest, a lot of them are mean. A lot of them are self-centered. A lot of them are just, they're not very nice. And the reality of it is this, that God did not call me into the world to just clap and applaud what everyone does, but I am to be thankful for what is good in one another's lives. How many times in the New Testament do you see the phrase one another? You see it because God called us not to be individuals gathered in secret or in privacy, but God called us to be an assembly of his people. So I must not only look to God and see what is good, but I must look to you and see what is good. But it's much easier for me to see what's wrong with you than to see what's good in you. Church at home, I didn't get a single amen from the people here. I want you to be aware of that. Doesn't count, I ask for it. No, not one. We must not allow the darkness to infiltrate our eyes. When God is working in another's heart and in another's life, you should see it and be glad. You should rejoice to see the hand of God making disciples, bringing forgiveness, bringing healing. I think that's a good place to start. Being in the love of God and rejoicing in the family of God, but also to rejoice in the sanctification through the Spirit of God. Now, that's one of those preacher words, sanctification. And what it means is how much more like Jesus we're all becoming all the time. Sanctification is not something which happens at the blink of an eye. It is something which happens from the second birth until the day of your physical death. It is that moment where God calls you and you step a little farther. I don't want hands to be raised, but how many of you in this room would say, I love Jesus a little deeper than I did last year? I'm stronger in my faith than I was last year. I've grown closer to Christ. Praise God for that. And when you see it in other people's lives, praise God for that too. Amen. I am so tired of a church with nothing good to say, with no praise to be given. If I wanted to listen to whining, I'd turn on the television. The reality of it is this, that my God is greater than the struggles that I face in this world. And if that's true, the acts of God must be greater than the things that are happening in this world. And so, though the world should be destroyed, the goodness of God would endure and the faithful of God endure. For our God knows the way beyond the grave and will call us into his presence. I got a quiet amen there and a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The reality of it is this. We are still being sanctified. And if your eyes see the flaws in others, as no doubt they do, let me ask you, do your eyes also see the hand of God at work in others? For it is there also. And if I could pick one to see, it would be the hand of God and not the darkness of shadows. We must pray that God would strengthen us. Not me, but us in the faith. Let's look at another verse. This is verse 14. To this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it says, fix your heart upon the gospel. And the gospel is not the same thing as finding out that you got your way or finding out that you can trust the powers around you. The gospel is this: the kingdom of God has come to this world. And this world will pass away, but the goodness of God will endure far beyond it. Amen. Listen, buddy, I look at the world, and you know what I expect to see in the world? This may shock you. Worldliness. Is anyone in? Do you find yourself being surprised to find out that America doesn't love Jesus? You shouldn't. Because the vast majority of America is not saved. I'm not even sure that the vast majority of church people are saved. I believe this, that the world is going to act worldly by its nature. My problem becomes, what in the world is the church waiting for? Unleash the kraken of goodness in your life. My goodness, if ever there was a time for the goodness of God's people to make an impact, isn't it now? I think so. Our hope is not of this world. Your love of country and your countrymen is important. You should love your country. I think so. You should love your countrymen. I think so. And all of the disappointment and struggles that we face when you watch the politics of the world around you has got to be understood. That's a real thing. It's not unimportant, but it is not the main thing. My love of country forces me to love my neighbor, because isn't that what the country is? They don't put that on globes and maps, but the reality of it is that the United States of America, and here I'm not supposed to get political, but I will for just a minute, isn't really just dirt and rocks. It's people. It's people. The gospel of the kingdom of God was called not to reach the dirts and rocks of America, but to reach the hearts of Americans. And the reality of it is this, that our nation needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. It needs it. Let our hearts ask God to send forth laborers into the fields, because the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Love your country in such a way that your life shines light and love and hope into the world around you. Fix your heart upon the glory of God, knowing that the closer I get to Jesus, the more like Jesus I am. Can you think of anything that our country needs more than Christ-like men and women? I think we could do with a couple more of those. And I'd like to send out a church full of them. And when I find sin in my life, it's disgusting to me because I realize, John, you let the team down. You needed to do good and you did it not. So I confess my sin. And my God is faithful and just, and He forgives my sin, and He cleanses me of all unrighteousness, and calls to me not to go be a quitter, but to go back out and to be the voice, the hands of love and joy in my community. Let me show you another verse. So then, brothers, by the way, this is typical Paul. Do you see that he's building an argument here? Phil, you should really get into this at some point. This is right up your alley. Some of Paul's books are one giant syllogism. They're just this beautiful argument that goes the whole way. Paul's arguing for something here. He says, so then, brothers, do what? Stand firm. And when I read that, you know what I typically think when I'm reading this in my flesh? See there? God wants me to dig in my heels and be stubborn about my opinions. I'm awesome at that. Anybody else in here pretty good at that? There I get the hands. All right, yeah, I'm really good at this. But he's not telling me to dig in my heels about my opinions. He's telling me to dig in my heels into the kingdom of God. And the reality of it is that I have to go to God all the time and confess my sins, that I'm not living up to His expectations. He says, stand firm, brothers, and hold on to the traditions that you were taught by the apostles, either by our spoken word or by our letter. He's calling them, plural, into unity. This is why there is such a danger that faces our church right now. Because we are in many ways scattered throughout different homes. And the thing that the church here does best is gather. Anybody else miss the Christmas breakfast this year? I did. Tim's bottle of hot sauce is still down there. I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't mean to let the cat out of the bag. I'll get you another one. The reality of it is this. Those are things that we rejoice in. We're great at that, but we've drifted away. We no longer have that ability to fellowship with one another, and you begin to develop into camps, masks and no masks, Republicans or Democrats, tall and short, sheep and goats, right? All that stuff. That's sarcasm, by the way. I hope we got all sheep here. The reality of it is this, we cannot let that happen. That my love for God and my love for you must be greater than anything which Satan would seek to divide me from the love of God. But how easy it is to let bitterness grow in the heart of man. Do not view one another as outsiders, but as brothers and sisters. And sometimes brothers and sisters argue. No? You guys didn't argue with your brothers and sisters? Lord have mercy, a room full of liars. The reality of it is this, that's part of being family, but the family itself is greater than the argument. And there are also people in family who force reconciliation. Did you ever have to shake your brother's hand and tell him you were sorry? Only to beat him upside the head with a wiffle ball bat the second mom wasn't looking? What's wrong with you people? Let me say this, blessed are the peacemakers. I need a lot more. I need more. Because the temperature has turned way up. The need for peacemakers is greater now than it was before. And I don't believe that God would allow us to face a task that He was unwilling to provide the answers to. Stand firm, hold your ground. Do not allow yourselves to be distracted from the Word of God, but view your love for one another as an act of war against the darkness. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against Republicans or Democrats, against this party or that party. I wrestle against the demonic powers that seek the destruction of God's church. And when they weasel their way into our lives, and they do, I must fight against it. And the way to fight against it is not by adopting the strategy of the enemy, but by being filled with the love and compassion of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's look at another verse. Now, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. Where does the act to stand firm come from? Well, this is going to, I want you to think about this for a minute, okay? Where does the ability to be stubborn come from? That's natural, right? That's natural. Where does the ability to be grounded in faith come from? It comes from God. It is supernatural. When you pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, you are declaring war against the darkness. You have flown the flag and you have declared yourself for the king. You notice that it calls him here the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a king word. He is saying, I am with you. Do you remember when Moses came down the mountain and he called out, who is on the Lord's side? Do you remember this? Hear it in your minds today, because the same call is active. Who is on the Lord's side? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And didn't I do that in your name? And he will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. If that doesn't stop the heart of the American churchgoer, I don't know what will. Chapter 17 is a very small verse, and I like it. It says this, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Anybody want more comfort in your life? Man, I can't buy an amen today. Yeah, I want more comfort in my life. What Paul says, if you want more comfort in your life, go out and make it so. Build up a stronger community. Build up the lives of others. And by doing those good works, you'll find a peace that passes understanding, that settles upon your heart. You say, no, I'm supposed to get my way, and that makes me happy. The reality of Jesus' message of the cross is far different. He says, take up your cross and follow. And that even in the midst of anger and of disappointment, God will fill you with the joy and peace of God. Do you not see that this is different than what the news is peddling? If you want really something surprising, go read your Bible for a while and you'll realize that it has almost nothing in common with what the world is offering. But it is giving something greater. Let's look at chapter 3. This is one of those moments where we got to keep going. You can't stop at the chapter break. You got to push on. He says, finally, brothers, do what? For who? He does not say, pray for me. Once again, Paul sees the community. He says, pray for us. And I'm going to say something here that's bound to offend somebody, but if you are not praying for the church, plural, for the individual families of the church, then you are failing in your obligation as a Christian. I'll say that again, because I mean every stinking word of that. If you are not praying for one another, you are failing in your obligation to protect and provide, uplift and bless the body of Christ. You are not called into the corner to just experience Jesus on your own, but you are called into a family. And even if you're at home and unable to gather, even if you're sick and trapped in the hospital, even if you are burdened down, your prayers are an ability to blast beyond the structures in which you find yourself. Why does the church remain silent when its prayers are needed most? Let's see another one. No, I can't. I can't leave it yet. Go back to it. Look at, that the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened where? Among you. I want you to view yourself as an active part of what is happening in other people's lives. So then the question is, what ingredient are you? Are you the cinnamon? Or are you, dirt that got scraped off into somebody's plate? Do you bring sweetness or do you bring bitterness? Do you bring strength or do you bring sorrow? What is it that you're bringing into other people's lives? And do they recognize that it's what you're bringing into their lives? It's not enough just to be the bossy sibling. They have to know that you love them. It's not just enough to love them from a distance without letting them know. Do you see the differences here? We're called to do more. And I feel like I'm not doing more. I feel like every day the board gets smaller and smaller and I'm limited in what I can do. And I find myself just calling out to God and saying, Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. The mountain's in the way. Move the mountain. But instead, my natural flesh responds this way. Instead of praying for God to move the mountain, I pray, God, let other people do what I want. I pray, God, I'd like to give you a list of things I'm grouchy about today. Or I just don't pray at all. And I allow the bitterness to eat my soul from the inside. Let's look at another verse. This is verse 2. That we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Did you know that the world around you hates your God? If it hasn't been made clear to you yet, let me spell it out for you. The powers of this world are not for Christ. They will continue to divide us if we allow it to be. Do not look to man for answers, but instead, through the power of the Spirit, become the hand of God in the lives of others. That we may be delivered. Every time I read that line, don't you hear the Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. Why? Because the kingdom is yours. Power is yours. There is so much for the Christian to meditate on here. I believe that we are called to actively pursue a path of peace and prayer as an act of war against the darkness. It is not doing nothing. It is doing everything. It is not laziness. It is an act of intense power to hit your knees and to pray. I've been criticized for it lately. And so having been criticized by people whose opinion I respect, I went and I thought about it. And I've come to the realization that very rarely happens to me. I think I'm right. It's true. It doesn't always happen. Every once in a while, Marvin, even a blind hog finds an acorn, right? The reality of it is this. I don't need to be praying less and doing more. I need to be on my knees really praying that God would move. And then when I see the path, I jump and go. And as I go, I pray. Let us pray without ceasing, for the world is in desperate need of the prayers of God's people. My friend, expect the world to act worldly. That's what they are. But let your jaw hit the floor when the Christian church refuses to rise and follow the call of Christ. Let's look at another verse. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Boy, I like that. I like that a whole lot. Because if I feel helpless, I feel out of control, I feel anxious, I need to think of this. It reminded me of a verse in the Psalms. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain which built it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. My friend, the Lord is faithful. Stand with Him. Follow His word. Seek His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He will guard you against the evil one. Who's the evil one? If you had a political figure pop in your head right now, you're missing the point. That's a sinner in need of God's grace. The evil one is a darkness far beyond that soul. There lies the foe. Oh, church, wake up and see what happens around you. For the souls of men and women are at stake. For the peace of our country and our homes is at stake. We must be peacemakers. We must be prayer builders. We must be a one another. Is that good grammar? I don't know if it is or not, but you know what I mean. Look at verse 4. I'm almost done. And we have confidence in the Lord about who? See, here's another thing I don't like. I don't like this. I have confidence in the Lord, period. I'm supposed to have confidence in the Lord about you. And you're supposed to have confidence in the Lord about me. But did you know that sometimes other people go about things in ways that you wouldn't? And that it's okay? You say, no. I wouldn't have had this thought if it wasn't correct. I wouldn't have made the suggestion unless I wanted to enrich the world around me with real wisdom, finally. The reality of it is this: God didn't make us all the same, and we will each pursue this path differently, but there are certain things which never change. Our loyalty to Christ, our love for one another, our being filled with the Word of God, those things remain the same. But the reality of it is this: that many Christians have never got past the point where they're just seeking to control the actions of other people. That's not the same thing as loving one another. Allow others to serve and enable them to do so. That's called discipleship. And it's something you've heard me talk about before today, so I won't dwell here. But this is the call of God. Go and make disciples. The last verse. May the Lord direct your hearts where? To the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Pray that God would direct others here. You're probably still praying for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. I pray that God would deliver me from evil. I got that. But that part comes pretty naturally. But it's when we forget to pray for those people who really are sick, where we forget to pray for those people who really are experiencing trauma in the home, struggles within their family, we have narrowed our vision so that we only see ourselves. Have eyes that see and ears that hear, because the King is calling. The King is calling for us to rise up and love one another. He is calling for peacemakers. is calling for disciples. And rather than telling me why we can't do something, help me find a way so that we can do it. Pursue paths forward. Our job is not to build a little fort. Our job is to shake the gates of hell. Pray that they would find confidence in the love and faithfulness of God. I've gone long and I don't care, because I canceled my sermon to talk about this. You're lucky you got out of here before 2 or 3 in the afternoon, to be honest with you. If I have offended you, realize that you are talking to a fallible human person. And all that I have done today is to share what my heart was burdened with as I read this text. I've been wrong before, but I believe that what I've told you today reflects the words of God. Go home and read. Take up and read. Let your heart be filled with the words of God. And think about these things. I'd like to encourage you guys. This is just FYI before we land the plane. In the evenings, I'm teaching a class on how to study your Bible. I've encountered a lot of people who seem to struggle really digging into the text. I want to help you take your Bible reading deeper than it's ever gone before. Sunday nights, 7 o'clock, here on Facebook Live, come with your Bible and a pen. Pastor Jacob Kessling is going to join me this evening. So you're going to get two preachers, and we're going to observe, interpret, apply, and correlate as we dig into scriptures. I want to share this with you just because, but Jacob told me a sixth option that you can do in Bible study. He says, sometimes I get sick, and so then or I get stuck, and so it's observation, interpretation, constipation. Is how that goes. Yeah, that's, and I thought that was great. So that's normally how mine goes, but we're going to try to avoid that. And so you can thank Jacob for that. And don't look at me like you've never heard that word before, okay? The idea is we're going to get through the struggles to see the Word of God. I think if you're not having a good time, my friends, you're doing life wrong. Love one another. Enjoy what's going on, because God is good. Still in control. Praise God. Lord, bless your church. Make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Bless us, Lord. Guide us and keep us. Amen.